Father Yahweh, we come before you. We thank you so much for allowing us to come to congregate together. Father Yahweh, we pray that what we do in our lives may be pleasing to you, that you may help us to overcome, help us to walk according to your word, as you've instructed us to do. Father, help us to become better servants, better disciples of yours, so that someday we might be counted worthy of your fold. Father Yahweh, the weaknesses and shortcomings we all have, we pray that you may work with each one of us. Strengthen us so that we may be perfect as you are perfect, as Yahshua commanded. Father Yahweh, we thank you so much for calling us to your faith, calling us to your truth. And we ask this in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. It's a little bit shorter from the what I'm used to, but I'm sure we can do okay. I'd like to start off by talking about something that happened this week. A co-worker of mine passed away. I didn't work with him side by side, but I worked with him quite a bit, knew him well. He was a good man. And I attended the service, and right before they closed the casket, and his wife leaned over and just sort of looked over him and just started bawling, you know, crying. And you could hear sobbing throughout the entire, you know, congregation service, and it was a horrible feeling in some ways, but certainly made me, I could not help to put myself in her situation. And it really, really reminded me of a truth in Yahweh's word, and that is life is short. You know, life is so short, it's unbelievable. This man was 58 years old, had a wife and two children. One of the his daughters, not much older than my wife. So I'm sure they're going to miss him, and we certainly will at work. Again, he was a good man, but again, it made me rethink, you know, life and how short it is. And I have a question I want to ask you, and I want you to think about it. And that is, how do we live? Because life is so short, we never know when that day's going to come. Do we live for the world, or do we live for Yahweh? How do we live? What is our focus? Where is our treasure? Where is our goal? Is our goal and treasure in the things of this world, or in Yahweh's soon coming kingdom? Where do we put our focus? You know, according to one source, the average person spends only 0.7% of their lives on religion. In our Daily Bread, dated November 25th, 1992, there was a calculation given on how the average person spends 70 years. It's estimated that the average person sleeps 23 years, 32.9%. The average person works 16%, 22.8%, 16 years. They watch TV, which probably is a bit higher today than it was in 1992, but that was 8 years at that point, 11.4%. Eat, 6 years. We travel, 6 years, both 8.6%. Leisure's 4.5 years, 6.5%. Illness, sickness, the average person sick for 4 years, 5.7%. We dress. Believe it or not, we spend 2 years out of our lives dressing, 2.8%. Sadly, religion is 0.5 years. We sleep 23 years, and we spend 0.5 years, 0.7%, focused on Almighty Yahweh. I believe that there's a great truth that we can learn from this estimate, and that is that the average person doesn't spend near the enough time with his Creator. In 70 years, or 25,000 days, take a few, the average person spends only half a year, about 180 days, focusing on religion, focusing on their faith. Now, how can we please our Father in heaven when we spend 0.7% of our days focused on Him? Again, life is so short. It's too short to ignore the one who gave us life. It's too short. We should spend every day in some way focused on our Father in heaven, on our Creator, and on our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. This nation that we live in is becoming worse and worse. It's entrenched in sin. It's sad, but the average person doesn't have a clue at what's scripturally right and wrong. And even worse yet, most don't care They simply don't. They don't care what's right and wrong. For instance, a coworker, mine, a different coworker, by the way, brought in the movie Brokeback Mountain. I could not believe it. He even said that on the whole, the movie wasn't that bad. And I thought this person had morals. How anyone with a shred of morality could rent this movie and then brag about it is beyond me. Why are we losing the morality? Why is it that people no longer know right from wrong? You know, if Hollywood would have put out a movie 50 years ago about two cowboy sodomites, you would have seen protests in every city in this nation. But what did we see? Oh, we got to go watch it. Got to give it an opportunity. It's acceptable. It's acceptable. Why? Why, I ask. Why? What's changed? In a poll taken in the fall of 2003, it was reported that the following regions within the U.S. attended church or service at least once a month. Once a month. The Midwest was 45%, no surprise. South was 40%, East was 30%. And again, no surprise, West was 27%. 27% of people on the West Coast or West region only spend 27% of their time once a month, or at least once a month, worshiping their Creator. Now, what's wrong with these statistics? What we find here is an abhorrence for religion in this nation and a healthy appetite for the world. People today rather not live for Yahweh, for the morality of His Word. People rather live for the world, for personal possessions, for wealth, for prestige, for self-gratification. It's all about me. It's all about what I can achieve. Now, when it comes to how we should live and the consequences of how we choose to live, there's no shortage of instruction found within Yahweh's Word. From old to new, we have the consequences of both right and wrong. Yahweh laid it out in the beginning. Again, referring to the statistics that we looked at just a moment ago, it's evident that the majority of this nation doesn't have the conviction, the faith. We've lost it. Why? Why don't we have people living Yahweh's Word? Why? What's happened? Again, they're too busy focusing on things that don't count, things that are insignificant, things that are short-lived. And that's something, again, that I really attuned myself to with this funeral. Everything is short-lived. Again, they're too busy focusing on their wealth, on their career, on their hobbies, on their friends, and whatever else this world might offer. Now, it's important that we understand the consequences of living for this world instead of living for our Father in heaven. For example, what are some of the consequences, results, when we live for the world? Some of the consequences that we find in Yahweh's Word are poverty. That's one. False security, emptiness, and by far the worst, spiritual death. Spiritual death is what happens when we live for this world. I'd like to open up Yahweh's Word this morning, this afternoon, to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, look at verse 17 with me. It says, "He that loves pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loves wine and oil shall not be rich." So we find here, living for the world, we find poverty. We find poverty when we seek pleasure and excessive drinking, both attributes of the world. Now, according to Solomon, if we engage in these activities, they will end in one guaranteed result. And again, that's poverty. If we live for the world and pursue certain pleasures, not only will we see loss in the life to come in Yahweh's kingdom, but we're going to see loss now in this life. We're going to suffer in this life if we pursue these pleasures of the world. Now, we can all probably think of examples of people we know who've wasted their lives focusing on personal pleasure, focusing on selfish desire. For some people, life is nothing more than a game. It's just a big game, a time to pursue their own selfish wants, a time not to look to the welfare of others. It's all about me. Even by the standards of this world, there's something called responsibility, but many people are forgetting what this means. It's being lost in our culture. Responsibility. It's being lost. Here we find that alcohol consumption, while scripturally allowed, excessiveness, excessive drinking, which Yahweh condemns, by the way, can lead to all sorts of negative consequences. I did a search on the internet looking how alcohol impacts this nation. It's reported that more than 100 U.S. deaths are caused by excessive drinking each year. 100,000 lives because of drinking. The BBC reported in 2001 that marriages where one or both spouses had a drinking problem, that they were twice as likely to end in divorce. The same source also reported that between 60 and 70% of men who assault their wives are under the influence of alcohol. It's also reported that excessive drinking is responsible for 65% of all suicide attempts, 23% of child calls to national helplines, 39% of fires, and 15% of drowning. There's a reason I believe Solomon said what he did here about alcohol, excessive drinking. Every day, families are torn apart by the abuse of this substance. Again, drinking to drink, pursuing your own pleasure, will end with one result. And that is, it will lead to personal problems and relationships. It tears apart friends. It tears apart families. I've seen it happen. But again, all of it will lead to poverty. If we neglect Yahweh for our own wants, for our own pleasures, then what we find here will come to pass. Guarantee. Again, as Yahweh's people, it's our responsibility to come out of this world, to be separate, not to share in its sins. We have this obligation as His people. We need to understand what not to do, what to avoid. The world certainly doesn't understand this. They're pursuing Brokeback Mountain. They're pursuing abominations that Yahweh laid down 4,500 years ago in His Word. And we've forgotten this as a culture. We're abandoning these morality that we've held on so long as a nation. We're leaving the morality of our forefathers. Turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 22. Verse 12, now we know that this passage here is speaking to Judah, but we can certainly see the message applicable to us in our day and age. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 12, it says, "In that day did the sovereign Yahweh of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth." Why? Because they were in sin and they refused to repent. And we all know the story. Judah was taken into captivity because she refused to heed Jeremiah and Isaiah's call. They refused. It says, "And behold, joy and gladness, saying, oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And Yahweh of hosts revealed himself in my ear, surely this iniquity shall not be forgiven you till you die," says the sovereign Yahweh of hosts. If this doesn't paint a portrait of what we see in this nation, I'm not sure what would. There's one focus today in this nation and really in this world. And that focus is Almighty Me. It's all about me. It's all about me in this world. Me has become the focus of this nation. No longer do people look to the welfare of others, to help others. People are consumed with their own needs, with their own wants, with their own pleasures. In this passage, Isaiah is prophesying against Judah. And we find here that at this time, Judah wasn't that far different from us. We know that Judah committed abominations of her own. She committed heinous crime against their own children, threw their children into the fires of Moloch, and accepted sodomy. They were guilty of all that we're guilty of at certain points. And here we find one of their low points. Judah was too busy. They were eating and drinking and pursuing their own pleasure. And they forgot about Almighty Yahweh. The attitude of "let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die" is all too common in this day and age. People nowadays, they don't live for the future. They don't live for Yahweh's kingdom. They don't live for the life to come. You just don't see that. They live for today. They live for the now. They live for the present. They're too concerned about their own needs, about their own wants. to be concerned about what matters about Yahweh's word. Very simply put, people today live for me. They live for me. Now, my short life, I've seen a truth proven time and time and time again. And that is, these people who are consumed with self end up with nothing more than useless items and alone. I've seen it time and time again. I don't care who you are. I don't care how special you think you are. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You see, in some ways, even when we have things, we can still live in poverty. Do you understand that? Even when we have things, when we have abundance, we can still live in poverty. You know, the saying that the best things in life are free could not be truer, because indeed they are free. Think about it. What are some of the best things in life? Faith in our Father in heaven, certainly one of them, is free. Can't be bought. Love for a spouse and for a child, it can't be bought. Being loved by others, certainly important to all of us. Again, can't be bought. It's free. There's more to life than the life we have now. Again, to reflect my coworker's death, he was 58 years old, had a wife, he has two children, and now he is in the grave, waiting for the resurrection. We can have the attitude that we found in Isaiah, and that is, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. Or we can make it our goal to live for Almighty Yahweh today and every day. The choice is yours, it's mine. But it's something we need to make, something we need to think about and focus and decide on. Because we know that going halfway is not acceptable. It's not acceptable. Turn to Luke now with me, if you would. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. We have a parable here given by Yahshua about a man who had an abundance, and in the end, it meant absolutely nothing. Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And one out of the multitude said to him, Teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said to them, Take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he reasoned with himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have not where to bestow my fruit. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But Yahweh said to him, You foolish one, this night is your soul required of you, and the things which you have prepared, whose shall they be? So is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich toward Elohim. In this parable, we have a man who put more focus on the treasure of this life than on the life to come. He focused on the now, on the present. He thought that in the things that he had, that he had security, that he had assurance. But what do we find here? What do we find through this parable? Before this man could enjoy what he accumulated, what he achieved, what he had, he died. This man died. You know, we have no clue. We have no way of knowing how long we shall live. We don't know how long we will live on this earth. We could live 30 years. We could live 50 years, 70 years. Maybe even 100 years. We just don't know. But someday, unless Yahshua returns, someday we all will die. We all will die. And nobody knows that day. You see, when we live for this world, we not only sacrifice the kingdom, we not only sacrifice our future, and Yahweh's kingdom, but we also sacrifice the now, what we could receive now through Yahweh's truth. And what I mean by that is this: the only source of true fulfillment and happiness, not only in this life, not only in the life to come, but both, is found in Yahweh's word. To really be happy, not only in the life to come, but also now, is to focus on Yahweh. Focus on His word. Focus on His truth. Focus on His faith. Focus on the promises in the future. When we do that, we will have happiness now. We will have fulfillment now. And we will have fulfillment in the kingdom when Yahshua returns. You know, Solomon said it best: vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You know, I really enjoy the book of Proverbs. It has a lot of wisdom. Some people find it depressing. I find it so valuable. There's so much truth in that book. Living for this world brings no substance, no value. There's nothing there. Absolutely worthless. There's nothing there. There's so many different examples we can turn to. For example, Caesar, one of the greatest kings in the history of man, one of the greatest empires in the history of man. Where is Caesar today? Where is Caesar now? He's in the grave. He's in the grave. Caesar is long dead and waiting the resurrection. No different from you or I or anyone else. He's not special. As much as this man had, it wasn't enough to save him from the grave. We can't find security, assurance in this world, in the things that we have now, because in the end, it will all be for naught. True treasure, true wealth, isn't found on this earth. It isn't found today. It isn't found in the present. It's found in Yahweh's kingdom. It's found in the promises we find in this book, the promise of eternal life. That's where treasure is found. It's not found in what we might have, our home, or our vehicles, our stock, whatever it might be. It's not found in those locations. It's found in what awaits us at Yahshua's return. Everything now only offers empty promises that someday, and maybe sooner than later, will all come to an end. It will all come to an end. Let's take a look at another parable Yahshua gave in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, we're familiar with this. Luke chapter 8, let's start with verse 4. And when a great multitude came together, and they of every city resorted to him, he spoke by a parable. The sower went forth to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden underfoot. And the birds of the heaven devoured it, and others fell on the rock, and as soon as it grew up, withered away because it had no moisture. Another fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And other fell into the good ground, and it grew and brought forth good fruit 100-fold. As he said these things, he cried that he that has ears, let him hear. Drop down to verse 11. It says, now the parable is this: the seed is the word of Yahweh. And those by the wayside are they that have heard. When it comes a devil and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. And we see that a lot. People come into the faith, a little bit of temptation comes, they can't handle it. They don't have the root. They don't have the gumption to continue. So they quit. They leave. They fall away. Verse 14, and that which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. And that in the good ground, these are such as in an honest and good heart, having suffered the word, hold it fast and bring forth fruit with patience. And hopefully, brethren, that will be you and I, those who hold fast the word. Now, what do we find here in this parable? Yahshua said that some are choked and pulled away by the riches and pleasures of this life. The world is a force that pulls against Yahweh's word. It pulls against Yahweh's truth. And I've seen many people, more than I want to count, fall away because of the pulls of the world. Paul talks about how our spirit wars against the flesh and how one is incompatible with the other. This world that we live in is governed by man's flesh. You know, it's easy for man to give in, to relinquish his faith when faced by the lure and attraction of this world. Man's ego and pride are driven and fed by the world's wealth and prestige. For us, we need to decide where our treasure will be stored. Will we build our treasure here and now, or will we have our treasure stored in the kingdom when Yahshua returns? Now, why are so many attracted to the world in lieu of Yahweh's word? Why are so many people pulled towards this evil system that's governed by Satan and forsakes Yahweh's word? Why is that? I believe it's for two reasons. Number one, convenience. And number two, comfort. You know, living for this world is much easier. It's much easier than trying to live for Yahweh. It's convenient. Unlike the world, living the truth requires work, requires dedication, requires sacrifice on our part. You know, living the truth is not easy. Ask anyone that's been around for any length of time. They will tell you. They'll verify that living for Yahweh is not an easy road to travel. It's not. Also, living for the world is much more comfortable to the flesh. It's much more comfortable to our carnal nature. Our flesh is attracted to the pulls of the world. Our flesh is much more at home with the world, with the adultery, with the fornication, with all the sins. It's much more at home. To live for Yahweh, what must we do to the flesh? We must deny the flesh. We must deny the flesh. What must we do if we live for the world? Nothing. Nothing. The flesh can indulge in all its sins. We can do absolutely nothing. It's much more comfortable with the world. Again, to live for Yahweh, we must make that sacrifice. We must deny that flesh. Again, keep in mind what Yahshua said in this parable. And be careful not to allow the cares, the wealth, the prestige, and the pulls to distract you from Yahweh. One assembly that really suffered with this, suffered tremendously, is found in Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. This assembly is a Laodicean assembly. And it suffered with the pulls. It gave in to the pulls. Revelation 3, 14. And to the angel of the assembly in Laodicea write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of hell. I know your works, that you are neither hot or cold nor hot. I would rather that you were cold or hot. You see, Yahweh doesn't want us lukewarm. If we're going to do it, let's do it. If we're going to obey, let's obey. Let's not go halfway. Yahweh doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He says either be cold, do nothing at all, or be on fire. What does he say in verse 16? So because you are lukewarm, and neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, and have gotten riches, and have need of nothing, and know not that you are the wretched one, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, that the shame of your nakedness may not be made manifest. Now we're all familiar, I'm sure, with this assembly. This assembly is known for being lukewarm, for going partial way in their worship. Yahshua said here that he would spew them, that he would spew them from his mouth if they refused to repent. I have a question that's not often asked, and that is, why were they lukewarm? Why were they lukewarm? Why did they go only partial way? Why did they lack the faith? Why? Why? The answer is quite simple. It says here that they were rich and had need of nothing. They had need of nothing, or so they thought. At this time, the city of Laodicea was one of the wealthiest cities in the Asian province. It was known for its banking and medical industry, a very rich area of the world at this time. You see, those in this assembly put more faith in their possessions than they did in their Father in heaven. They put more faith and more dedication, more devotion to their goods than they did for Yahweh. They, like the man in Joshua's parable who had more than he could possibly store, put their faith and confidence in what they achieved on their own, on what they had, on their own possessions. You see, their faith and assurance wasn't found in the one they worshipped, and that was the problem Joshua had, but was found in the world, was found in what they achieved. Joshua admonished them to buy from him gold refined by fire, representing Yahweh's pure word. You see, true treasure isn't found in this world. Again, it's found in Yahweh's kingdom. It's not found in the now. It's not found in the present. It's not found in this life. It's found in the kingdom. It's found at Yahshua's return. This is where we'll find a treasure that will last and remain forever. Eternal life in Yahweh's kingdom is treasure beyond value. There's no price we can apply to Yahweh's kingdom. For many in the Laodicean assembly, putting faith in their Father in heaven was a foreign concept, a foreign thought. They were blinded by their possessions, by what they had, by what they achieved, by what they accumulated. The members of this assembly were being choked by the world. Just as Joshua described in his parable, they were being choked by their riches, by their abundance. They were being choked. You know, those of us in this nation, we have a lot in common with this city. We too are often choked by this. No different from this nation, the people of Laodicea had a problem with wealth, with possessions, with cares, with pleasures of the world. They put all their focus on the world and what they had, and not on the life to come. You know, no different from people today who live for the sole purpose to achieve that career, achieve that home, achieve that vehicle, or whatever it might be. These people did the same. They had the same focus. They focused not on Yahweh, focused not on the truth. They focused on the world. They focused on what they had. Now, we all know the story of the rich man, how he wasn't able to forsake what he had for the truth. Joshua said, "Follow me." And he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. If we're not careful, we too can fall for this deception. Wealth can be a curse if not managed with wisdom. I was looking on the internet this morning. My internet crashed, so I apologize. I wasn't able to pull the statistics. But it's amazing how many horror stories you can find with people winning the lottery. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. These people, they win millions of dollars and it's gone. Within a few years, and they're back in a trailer park, living on food stamps. I read story after story after story. And it's amazing. It's amazing. The people of Laodicea had a lot of wealth. And instead of it being a blessing, it became a curse. It became a curse. And I've said it many times, most often we're best off with only the basics and necessities of life. We're better off with only the basics because so often, and I think all of us to some extent, get wrapped up into this world. We lose focus. We're not focused on what we should be. When we put our focus on our possessions and on this world, we remove that focus from Yahweh. Do you understand that? We can't focus on both. And when we do this, we're no better off than the Laodicean assembly who had an issue with this. I want to look at spiritual death now. This is by far the worst consequence of living for this world. Turn to 1 Timothy with me. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 5. So 1 Timothy 5:5, and let's see here, I'll get there eventually. Okay, 1 Timothy 5:5. And this is speaking about a widow, but certainly applicable to all of us. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate has her hope set on Yahweh and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. Notice the emphasis on there. Continues in prayers night and day. It's a continual focus on our Father in heaven. A continual focus. But, verse 6, but she that gives herself to pleasures is dead while she lives. Now there's no mistake in here, Paul's message. If we give in to the pleasures of this world, we're spiritually dead, even though we are much physically alive. Now, this is a far cry from what we hear from most pulpits today. Most ministers focus on the message of health, wealth, and prosperity. Again, it's all about me, none of which, by the way, we can find in Yahweh's word. Now, why would most ministers do this, knowing the truth? Why would they focus only on health, wealth, and prosperity and me? For some, it's ignorance. They simply don't know. And others, it's all about numbers. Most ministers today preach not the message of Yahweh's word, but what people want to hear. They preach what people want to hear. How many people do you know who rather hear a message on forsaking worldly goods versus a message on worldly prosperity? How many people? Not too many. Not too many. Most, they want to hear about worldly prosperity. They want to hear on how they're going to receive that promotion, how that house is going to fall from the sky. They want to hear how they're going to benefit, how they are going to benefit. This is what they want to hear, and this is what they're being fed. This is what they're being fed. Most people rather hear how they're going to be blessed with that promotion, with that vehicle, with whatever they want. And certainly hear nothing what Yahweh requires of them. Sadly, this is not the message of Yahweh's word. Again, Paul says that if we give ourselves to the pleasures of this world, that we are dead while we live. Paul knew and understood the pitfalls of pursuing the world. He knew how possessions and pleasure impacted the life of a believer. He's not writing to the world here. He's writing to you and I. He understood it. Again, we can all think of examples from those we've known who've forsaken the truth because of the pleasures and pitfalls, the pools of the world. I've seen people forsake the faith for money. I've seen people forsake the faith for careers. I've seen people forsake the faith for abominations. And it happens all the time. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, once said, "A little leaven leavens the whole lump." When we allow the pleasure of this world to encroach in our lives, it often is only a matter of time until it spreads and grows like leaven. You see, once we allow the world in, it's often impossible then to remove it completely. I guess it can be done, but it's hard. It's difficult. Once we accept it, once we allow it in, it's a lot harder to remove it. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. You know, when we're ignorant of certain things, there's no attraction, there's no knowledge. But when we know, we must fight against that pull. For example, Adam and Eve. Yahweh said, "Don't do it. Don't eat of this forbidden fruit. You don't want to do it." What did they do? They ate of that forbidden fruit. You know, they were blissfully ignorant of right from wrong. They had no knowledge, and they were happy. But once they ate of that forbidden fruit, their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened, and sin entered into this world. Turn over to 2 Timothy with me, if you would. We have a prophecy here by Paul. Most people don't relate Paul to a prophet. Paul certainly was. Chapter 3, verse 1. "But know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come. For men shall be self-lovers, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, rulers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of Yahweh." Paul says here that these signs will come to pass in the last days. We're in the last days. We're living in the last days as prophesied in Scripture. Paul says that man at this time should be self-lovers. What do we hear from psychology today? We need more self-esteem. We need to love ourselves. I'm here to tell you today that we have more than enough love and we have more than enough self-esteem. What we need is love for others and humility. Paul also said that men would be lovers of money, or if there's any one driving force in this nation and the world, it's the love of money. People will stop at nothing when it comes to the love of money. There's a lot of people who are willing to commit murder to achieve this. As Paul told Timothy, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Paul also said here that people would be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Yahweh. Now, if this doesn't hold true for the people of this nation, I'm not sure what would. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Yahweh. This is the root of all problems we have in our culture. People are more focused, they're more concerned about their own needs, about their own wants, than they are pleasing their Father in heaven, pleasing their Creator. They're not concerned about pleasing Him. They're only focused on what they want to do, on their own needs. But in many ways, this is nothing new. Solomon said, what has been will be again. Judah at one point was no different and possibly worse off. Again, they were sacrificing their children to an idol. And they've allowed sodomy and other sins. You know, man by nature seems to always find a way to justify his actions, his behavior. The thing, though, that's different here with what Paul says is the prophecy is on a much larger scale. We're not talking one or two nations. We're talking about the world. We're talking about the world. The people of the world will be self-lovers, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, and the other signs we find here. As Joshua's coming becomes closer, we know that these signs will intensify. They will become worse. This is a reason why we need to be cautious that we're not guilty of these sins. We need to stay alert to make sure that we're not influenced by the pleasures of this world. Again, what happens if we allow these sins to influence us? What happens if we are pulled by the enticement of the world? What happens? I'll tell you what happens. Death. Death. That's what Paul said. Death. Even though we might be physically alive, we are scripturally dead. And I can tell you the latter is much, much, much worse. Even though, again, we might be alive, we're dead spiritually, and there's nothing worse. You know, 50 years ago, this message of coming out of the world, repenting, and turning from your sins, it was heard from every pulpit in this nation. But now, because of a corrupt focus, most ministers forgo this message. You don't hear it. Religion has become a business of numbers, a business of income, and not a business of truth and morality. But again, this was prophesied 2,000 years ago. Paul, writing to young Timothy, said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables." Now, we're certainly seeing that today. We're seeing that in our day and age, people turning to fables. They refuse to hear the truth. They rather hear stories, anecdotes, and most of all, they want to hear approval for what they're doing. They want to know that what they're doing is approved by Elohim, by Yahweh. They want to know that it's approved that they lie, cheat, and steal to accomplish their goal. That it's okay to have a million-dollar home. That it's okay to do these things, to seek wealth, to seek the world. That it's okay. So as believers, where should our focus be? Where should our focus be? What should we be doing as believers? I'm going to close with Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, one of my favorite passages. We have a lot of truth here, Matthew chapter 6. Joshua talking about our focus, our heart, our treasure. Look at verse 19 with me. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does consume and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will also be your heart. Do you understand that? Where our treasure is, there is also our heart. This is the reason why we need to focus entirely on Yahweh. We need to make Him our goal, our life, our reason for being. Verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be sound, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in you, be darkness. How great is the darkness? Now listen to verse 24 here. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve Yahweh and mammon, money. Yahshua said that we can't serve two masters. We must make a choice. We must decide who we will serve. We can't choose to live for both Yahweh and the world. They are incompatible. They're incompatible to one another. We either choose one or the other, but we can't choose both. You know, this is a dilemma many people struggle with in this world, in this life. People, they want both. They want Yahweh, they want the blessings, but they want the world. They struggle. But Yahshua says there is no struggle. You either accept one and hate the other, or hate one and reject the other. You can't do both. It's impossible. But there's a lot of people who try. There's a lot of people who like to serve both Yahweh and Mammon. But it's been proven time and time and time and time and time and time again that it can't and won't happen. When we try to serve both, we are forced to abandon one for the other. And this is precisely why Yahshua said what he did. So let me ask, where is our treasure? Where is our heart today? Are we serving Yahweh without compromise? Or are we guilty of being lukewarm in our worship as the Laodiceans and trying to also serve the world? Understand that if we're trying to do both, we will never find either. You just can't do it. If we plan to see those golden streets of New Jerusalem, then we must put Yahweh first above all now. Put Him first. Anything less is simply not enough. If we plan to only dabble in the truth while pursuing the world, as many people do, we're in for disappointment. We're going to be disappointed. Again, to go back to my coworker, recently passed away, 58 years old. For him, life ended before he had an opportunity to make Yahweh his goal. He had no knowledge of what was happening. He was healthy, a blood clot decided to make its way into his lung. He had no idea. He had no choice. Let us here and those listening not be guilty of the same, though, because we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity today to put Yahweh first. So let's put Yahweh above all else now and realize that the things of this world are all a chasing after wind, as Solomon would say, that someday we'll all be blown away forever. And we will then be with Yahshua forever and with our Father in heaven. And there's not a greater reward, a greater thought. So may Yahweh bless you.